Max.
Blog Talk Radio.
Today is July 16th, 2013, and this is Foxology. I'm Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I hope that your journey went well today. You know, every day is a journey. Well, life is a journey. And if it didn't go so well, well, there's still time. Still only 8:30, 5:30, 7:30, wherever it is that you are. That's in the United States, but depending on where some of the other listeners are, maybe it is already Wednesday. If so, oh, happy day to you as well. But as I was saying, you know, life really is a journey, moment by moment, day by day. So as we travel, or should I say navigate, because that's more like the truth, through it, you know, you already know this, and I don't have to tell you, but, you know, you have to learn to be a pretty good driver to stay on the road to happiness and wellness and success, and I might add peace of mind as well. You and I both know that there are often a lot of high roads and low roads and curvy roads and detours and roads under construction, lots of delays and dead-end roads, and fortunately, there are a lot of signs pointing us in the right direction, and fortunately, too, we can arrive at almost any desired destination if we just keep driving. So keep on driving through this evening. You know, if it didn't start off good, it can get better. Just sit back and relax with me, and I think you're going to enjoy what I'm going to be talking about with my special guest this evening. Well, you know, another thing that plays a role in our journey is our mental map. That's the map in our mind. That map will tell us where to go. It's made up of thoughts and beliefs, and a lot of those thoughts and beliefs are put there. Sometimes they just land there, but they sure can take us anywhere and sometimes to places we really didn't intend to go. And that's much of what we're going to be talking about this evening on Foxology, your belief systems. The BS will blow your mind. How about that? Well, it's true. My guest today is an author, and she has written a book, What's the BS About? She's also a mega-talented music industry pro and ordained minister and speaker, among other things. And I would like to welcome Marnita Coleman to Foxology this evening. Hello there, Marnita. Thanks so much for being my special guest today.
Hi, Silver. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I am so glad. This is kind of sort of our second meeting on the air today.
Yeah.
I could see you on the switchboard, and I was trying my best to connect to Blog Talk, and everything had gone so well and so smoothly. And then when I tried to get inside to talk to you and connect with the listeners in cyber world, guess what? Nothing. Well, you don't have to guess. You know what happened. It just did not work out. And I was on the phone probably almost a couple of hours getting that worked out with Fox Blog Talk. But I tell you what, it's those times that I always say that tests my belief systems. Do I really believe that things work out best when you make the best of how things work out? Well, they do, and you have to stay optimistic. So it all worked out. Here we are, and here we are ready to roll. I'm so excited about talking with you. I love the title of your book, but before we get to that, you know, when I looked up more information about you, I was very excited when I got your bio and looked at many of the things that you do that you were not eager to boast about, I'll say it that way. But I'm going to have you do that with us tonight because I found out you have more than one love when it comes to your creative talents. You've been doing you've been doing some wonderful things in the music industry, in the gospel music industry. So let's start first with you telling everyone about your music industry background. It's awesome.
Well, actually, I am in the music industry, and I my focus and concentration is gospel music, and I've had really the blessing of working with some of the top gospel artists in the world, actually, the Kirk Franklin, the Winans over the years, Dorinda Clark, Cole, you name it, the Hawkins, Walter Hawkins, Tremaine Hawkins, and so many more, Byron Cage, Trinity 5-7. We actually introduced Trinity 5-7, and just so many other artists. And now I've actually shifted my efforts to an international perspective, and I work with various artists on an international level from London, from Europe and Africa, and even Australia.
That is so fantastic. So how did you get started? Tell us about that. I know you've got some background of your own other than what you've just described.
Well, it's pretty interesting because I grew up in a musical family in on the side of marketing and promotions, that is. We don't sing. At least we don't sing professionally. You know, we don't really sing. But my oldest sister is in the music industry, and she's really one of the top industry executives in the world. She also operates on an international level. And when we were young, you know, my big sister was in the music business, and at that time she was doing secular music, and she would have us, we were just teenagers, and she would have us get all our friends together and come to whatever event she was at, and she would kind of stage us as props and in the audience, and we were to scream and yell for her artists and that kind of thing. And this was just fun stuff because we got to get in free, we got to meet the artists, take pictures and all that kind of stuff. And then I kind of went on and did some other things, and then later in life she came and approached me and said, "Hey, look, I could really use you in this business. You really know how it works, and I'll train you more." And I thought, okay, I'll give it a whirl. It was a lot of fun, and really, it really is. It's just a lot of fun. I always say, or often say, I cannot believe I'm getting paid to do this. People actually pay me to do what I do, and it's so amazing. And then some years ago, actually 10 years ago, it's been 10 years ago, the Lord, I was just having some time, prayer time, private time, meditation time, and I just felt very led in my spirit to separate myself from her business and to branch out and kind of do my own thing, follow my own path. And thus I did, and I was very afraid to do that, not knowing how I would be received. But what had happened over the years, I didn't even realize I was establishing a foundation in the industry based on my own relationships and integrity and that kind of thing. And so when I launched out into the deep, so to speak, on my own, I already had contacts. I already had, you know, a Rolodex, as it used to be called, but I already had these resources that were in place and these relationships that were intact. And I just kind of built on that. And here I am today. Yeah. So
well,
it's
I know
been
you
a
guys
good ride.
Are still sisters. Are you still friends?
Yeah. Most of the time. You know, the truth of that is that we do cross lines from time to time. We are technically competitors in the industry, but we're still sisters. And we work together a lot when we have to. In fact, she's going to be doing a concert in South Africa in March, and she, you know, I'll be helping her with that. So she brings me in when she needs me, and I bring her in when I need her. And so we work well together. There have been times in the past when it got really hairy, and I said, I'm telling Daddy. You know, and I would just go to, I would go and tell my dad, and he, you know, straighten things out. But for the most part, we really do. We're family, and so we continue to act like family and work like family, and that's unified.
Yeah. I was really saying that for a joke, but I know that the potential was there to have some of you got, you know, some of you crossing each other's paths with the artists that you have mentioned. I know in your bio, too, you mentioned that a couple of years ago that you had helped one of your industry professionals win the Dove Award for Best Contemporary Song. Can you share that with us and tell us about who it is in the song?
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. It was our first Dove Award that we had actually won, and it was an international artist. We actually, one of the labels, it actually it's the top gospel record label in the UK. It's Zoe Records of London. And I've been working with them for a number of years, and we came up with this concept. We wanted to start taking, bringing their artists to the United States, touring them and working them in our music industry. And we came up with a project, 21 tracks of the top gospel artists in England. We placed on this particular project record. And we brought it over to the States, and we brought the groups over one at a time. We did several tours, and we went around to just about every major city in America introducing the artist, and it garnered us a Dove Award nomination, and we actually won Best Urban Contemporary Song, and the artist that won is Lola Godheld. The song was called Wait. It was a very contemporary song. As you may know, the British artists, gospel music is very contemporary. Their church industry and music industry as it relates to gospel is very different from ours. Ours is birthed out of the church. Theirs is birthed in the church, but it's like maintained through clubs and other events and different venues, whereas we have a lot of Christian-type events going on. They don't. And so they take their music to the club, so it has a very club feel to it. And we were very concerned. We weren't sure how the American market would receive it, but it received it extremely well. And we actually won that award. It was super, super awesome for us. I was at the pre-luncheon, the pre-award ceremony, actually, and Matthew Knowles, Beyonce's father, approached me and said, because he had read the ballot, and he was like, wow, how'd you guys get in my category? So he comes over to me, and he's, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's crossing the room. I'm noticing him, and he's coming towards me, and I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, you know, who's around me? Who's he coming over to see? And I was the only one there, and he came up to me, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is Matthew Knowles. And he comes over, and he introduces himself, and I'm like, hey, I know who you are, you know. And he says, I just need to ask you some questions about your artist. And so I began, he questioned me about, you know, my artist and that kind of thing. And he said, how did you do this? Get in my category, because we were in the same category with him and his artist, and he not know it. And I thought, wow, I don't know, you know. I mean, we just had some grassroots plans, and, you know, we put them out there, and we did our thing, and we kept everything pretty much under the radar. And then he asked me for my card. He said, may I have your card? And I'm thinking, you can have all my cards. you're Matthew Knowles. You can take all of what I have here. You know, so it was really an exciting time for me personally, as well as the label, as well as the artist, because I took a vision, stepped out on it, and the Lord really blessed it, and I just continue to follow it through. And the Lord really blessed it and promoted us to that level. So it was great.
That is truly, truly amazing, and I certainly know there's lots more success ahead for you. I can hear it in your voice. You're still, you still sound like it's your first week at it.
Because that's how the music industry is. It's so exciting. It's always changing. It's challenging. You know, it's like I love what I do, but it puts a lot of pressure on me, you know, but it's exhilarating and it's worth it. And at the end of the day, I'm excited. I'm still excited. And where this whole new movement on the international level is just, it's my dream, really. It's my dream, and I'm walking in it, and it's coming true. And it's, to some degree, it's hard to believe it. I know that kind
of sure.
Sounds funny.
I'm sure. You have to pinch yourself some days.
Yeah, but it's good. It's all really good.
With all that you do, you decided one day that you needed to start writing about something that I'm sure lends itself somehow to what you're doing, but in one way, it really seems like a whole other world of action and you know, a whole other psychology. And so how did you find, pardon me, how did you find yourself thinking about delivering a message to the public about belief systems?
Well, you know, actually it's very interesting to me. It was quite a surprise to me, too. Among some of the things that I do, I guess my way of giving back, or you would call it my ministry, so to speak, is parenting. I teach parenting classes. And I decided that I was going to develop a parenting manual. And it has like 10 chapters, and I began to work on this particular parenting manual. And one of the chapters is the belief system, was on the belief system. And so I was, I had been invited to speak at a women's conference in North Carolina, and a young lady said, you know, we want you to come down here, and we're going to be talking about our gifts and talents and that kind of thing. And I said, okay. And so, you know, I'm praying about it. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. And so I'm praying, and I'm believing God for the word to speak and what to say and how to approach it, and I'm studying and that kind of thing. And so I believe I heard God say to me, take the chapter. He instructed me to take the chapter out of my parenting manual and expand it into a book. And I thought, really? Really? Can I do that? You know, can I do that? And so I sat down and I just went through the same process that I did with the manual. As I began to set and arrange the manual, I began to set the topics and the sections and the, you know, each chapter of the belief system out. I laid it out, and I studied and researched and expanded what I had already wrote about the belief system. And instead of making it instead of making it germane to parenting, I just made it generic to life. And it just really opened up and took on a whole life of its own. I took this belief system book to North Carolina, and when they said, what's the BS about? You know, it was really a shocker. People were like, what? You know, what the heck are you talking about? And so that's pretty much how it came about. And I introduced it that way so that it would shock people into drawing closer to it to investigate what BS, quote unquote, I was talking about. You know, and that's pretty much how it came about. And now I realized that it was critical. I suppose I was destined to write this because it is critical, and I love talking about the belief system. I love sharing about it, and I think that it's something that is absolutely necessary. I believe that people, it's been said, you know, after you give your life to Christ, you have to really start transforming and renewing your mind. And that's what this really is all about. It's transforming and renewing our minds and developing our minds into a stronger, sturdier location so that we can live a greater life. Yeah, I don't want to get ahead of myself, so I'm kind of going to slow that down. But
well,
that's pretty much how it came about.
Mm-hmm. There are certainly many areas that we can dialogue about. I've got several questions. Many things came to my mind today when I thought about it. I love the subject because I know how important it is. I've learned myself through trial and error about belief systems and how they can help or hurt you. And so I wanted to talk about this for so many reasons. And I would like for you to start by telling the listeners about what we really mean. You know, I did a little bit, you know, when I was introing the show, you know, about our mental maps and the thoughts and things that land there or are put there. But why don't you tell us the foundational principles, and then I'm going to ask you things about habits and, you know, religion and, you know, relationship choices and things like that. So let's start by telling people so that we really are all on the same page, that we understand what we're talking about when we talk about a belief system, because it definitely is, it's real, it's complex, but I think we can probably explain it to them pretty simply and then move forward with the questions that I have for you.
Okay, well, in my opinion, the belief system is basically, in a very simple, as simple as I can put it, it's the things we hold to be true. There are things in our mind and our subconscious mind that we, over the years, we have determined are truths. And that's basically how your belief system it gets started. It's as unique as your fingerprint. We all have an individual fingerprint. There's something called the friction ridges, that these little, the pattern that's on the tips of our fingers, they're called friction ridges, and they're all very unique and very distinct. And if you take your fingertip and you press it against some ink and put it on some paper, you'll see all these different wonderful patterns. Well, our belief system is a wonderful pattern. In fact, is God's design. And basically what happens is when we were born, what has happened is when we were born, everybody's born at what I call ground zero. You have no belief system when you're born. You don't believe anything. You're a child, you're an infant, you know absolutely nothing. But by the time you're 3 years old, let's just say three, your belief system has already started taking on shape. And what I mean is your values and morals have been imparted to you through your parents or your caregivers or whomever is in that environment. They have imparted their beliefs, their values, their morals, their ideals into you by the time you're three. And you begin to believe what they believe. And so your mom, your dad, they're pretty much basically operating out of what they were taught. So they're teaching you from what they were taught as children growing up and then from some of the things that they learned after they were out of the care of their parents, whatever came out of their environment. And so we begin to develop with these beliefs in our heart, and they begin to shape us in the way that we should go. For instance, you know, we've got this major case in the news, the Trayvon Martin murder case, and we find out that George Zimmerman, who we all know he killed Trayvon Martin, but he was acquitted and of the crime of the second degree murder charge. And what has happened in America is that folks are seeing that as a racial think, oh, you know, even though he's Hispanic, we're saying that this is a white man who killed a black man, and the white man went free. And had it been reversed, then the black man would have been in jail the night of the crime. He would never have walked away. That's because our belief system, supported by the environment of America, the racist environment in America, and the unjust justice system, has taught us that if you are black in America, the justice system may not work for you. It will probably, most likely, work against you. And so we've learned this from a child. We grew up in seeing how Caucasians or lighter-skinned folks were treated as opposed to blacks or darker-skinned folks. And so those things were deposited into our belief system or our subconscious mind. We saw them. We believed them. We held on to them. And so we developed those thoughts over the years. Well, you know, black people don't make it in America. Why? Because they're black. And then the environment supported it and pretty much confirmed you're absolutely right. And so what we come up with is this belief system that says because I'm this, that, and the other, it's not going to work for me. And it could happen in any other type of scenario. It could be, you know, age. You feel that you're too young for something because you've seen people at that particular age lose out or miss out, miss opportunities, or you feel that you're too old and you feel that it's too late for you to get in the game. So the belief system basically are things that we hold to be true, and we live through our and out of our belief system. Every thought, every image, every impression that you have ever had in your lifetime has been stored and deposited in your belief system, or we'll call it also the subconscious mind. And your subconscious mind will play those things back subconsciously. You don't even know that it's coming up. But every single thought, everything you do, every word you speak, it is filtered through your belief system before it comes out of your life. And so it's critical. I mean, it's absolutely critical that we tap into the belief system.
I think we probably would like to add to what you said by saying that there are certainly a lot of other influences that go into it as well when you're young, and it continues throughout your life. But particularly when you mentioned what you just mentioned about Trayvon Martin, I think about other things that impact African American communities, poverty and lack of you know, access to world class education, and you know, other things that play a huge role in, I believe, our belief systems. But I don't know that, you know, do you when you say what you say, I'm wanting a little bit of clarity on, you know, the fact that you brought that particular topic up, and the belief system, because are you saying that if we believed something else, it would be applicable to that same situation if we hadn't had those particular messages? Is that what you're saying, that we would see it differently?
Absolutely, yes. I think there's a saying that says if you change the way you look at something, the things you look at will change. And even though I am African American and I watched this trial, the reason I brought it up is because it's a hot topic right now. It's all over social media. It's on the news. Everybody's talking about it. You know, the new civil rights 2.0. We've got to, you know, pull our community together and we're, you know, we've had enough. We're not going to allow these kinds of atrocities to happen in our community anymore. And so it's fresh on everybody's mind. So I just used it as an example. But even though I'm African American, I watched some of the trial and read all the, you know, the blogs and that kind of stuff as it was going along. And based on, this is just because of my belief system, I know he killed this kid. I know, and that's not what the argument was. It was, you know, how should we charge him? Was it racist? Was it not racist? And based on my belief system, I just watched the trial go along, and I couldn't really determine whether he was racist or not. I think that there were definitely some racial sensitivities there, but I also believe that there was a lot of frustration. This gentleman was operating out of what I would probably say maybe some self-defeat in his life. This was an opportunity for him to really prove that he could be, you know, that he was police officer quality. So there were things going on that in his psyche that I can't really address and speak to, but we presumed they were presumptions because they were mentioned throughout the trial. But I believe if you look at things differently, yeah, the things that you look at will change. And so I stopped seeing him as a racist. I started seeing him just as a criminal. He was a criminal because he did commit this murder. And I looked at it based on the letter of the law. And I knew before the end of the trial that they could not convict him on the charges that were before them. And so was I upset? I was very disappointed. Yes, I was discouraged by the justice system, the judicial system here in America. I was disappointed. Again, it failed us. So I had that heartache, but I'm not mad about, you know, the jurors. I'm not going to call them racist or whatever, even though that may be the case. You see, so I shifted my belief system to look at the letter of the law and have a better understanding. I chose to have a better understanding of what was going on before me than just seeing it as a racial incident. And I think that definitely, yes, Silver, you know, we have the ability to challenge our belief system, to change our belief system, and to direct it in a different way, and to take our level of thinking to another level. Psychologists have said that we have one thought per second. And that actually equals out to about, I thought I had the numbers right in front of me, but it's like 86,400 thoughts a day. We actually think 86,400 thoughts a day. And these same psychologists have determined that 75% of our thoughts are negative. 75% of our thoughts are negative. So that's about 64,800 thoughts a day that we're thinking that are negative. And somebody is probably saying, no, that can't be right. I don't think I have that many thoughts. Of course you do. You have that many thoughts. And the reason that you don't recognize that you're having that many thoughts or even that they're negative is because they're habitual. You know, habitual thoughts. We tend to bend negatively initially before we go positive. So, you know, this is just an amazing topic. And I think that once the light is shed upon the belief system and our thoughts, I think we'll be more conscious of some things. Of course, you're not going to catch all, you know, 86,000 thoughts that you're having, but you can definitely begin to reverse your thinking process to a more positive.
I think you just said a real key thing right there. I feel a lot of people don't understand that they can grab hold of thoughts and, turn them around or think differently. I find that that's more situation individually. People don't often realize that you're really not a prisoner of your thoughts
right.
as much as you think.
Mm-hmm.
You're not captive to them, that you have to keep believing particularly in a negative way, or things that are in error, or things that cause you to react to situations in a, you know, poorly, or ways that don't create for you the positive responses or success or money or any number of things, positive relationships. But you and I both know that they actually can. You can grab hold of those thoughts. And once you grab hold of the thoughts, of course, it's got to impact your thinking and your behavior. But it does take some training. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Wrong thoughts produce wrong feelings, and wrong feelings produce wrong decisions, and wrong decisions are going to produce wrong actions. And so how do we reverse that? Well, there's a process that's called debating, detecting, and debating, detecting and debating. So you have to really become more conscious of what you're thinking, what's running through your mind. 86,000 thoughts a day, 75% being negative, we're just letting our mind just run rampant, you know, without checking our thoughts. And so through detecting and debating, you actually become aware of what you're thinking and how you're thinking. And the way that you overturn a thought is not necessarily by thinking something different. That's part of it. But the main way that you overturn a thought or reverse a thought is to counter it with words. We have to counter those thoughts with positive words. So, for instance, if someone is having a negative thought, maybe they're thinking they're in a bad relationship or something, and they're just sitting there and they're just, you know, subconsciously thinking, their subconscious mind is just running rampant, and they're just thinking about how bad their relationship is and how, you know, they wish they could get out of it and da-da-da-da. They have to, one, detect, uh-oh, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm sitting here, you know, just having all these negative thoughts, which are going to produce these negative feelings, so I want to overturn that. So they need to open their mouth, and they need to start talking and speaking positive words and truths. Now, remember that our belief system is made up of things that we hold to be true. So now we have to find the truth of the situation and overturn those negative things with the truth. So you have to find whatever positive truth that you have in that relationship. So you may be in a relationship with a gentleman who isn't perfect, has a lot of flaws, and, you know, and you keep running those thoughts through your mind. He drops his clothes in the floor, you know, why can't he put them in the hamper, you know, or something like that. Well, instead of thinking about all the negative things that he does that displeases you, you have to consciously think about the things that he does that brings joy to you, and then speak those things out. You know, he remembers my birthday every year. He always takes me out on Mother's Day. You know, he gives the best hugs. He's very affectionate. You have to put into the atmosphere, the environment, the truth of the situation, and you have to continue to do it repeatedly. The belief system does not operate by logic. You can't say, you know, oftentimes we see things that happen and we say they knew better. They may have known better, but it was not developed in their belief system, so their belief system defaulted to whatever was there. And so that could have been a negative behavior. And so that negative behavior played out, even though we feel that person should have known better. So because the belief system does not operate, you know, by logic, it operates by whatever has been deposited into your subconscious mind, and those things are deposited through repetition. And that's how we get them in our minds. So all that, you know, that repetition in school, we had to write the same thing 10 times. They were actually using a strategy to get it, to place those things that we were being taught into our subconscious mind. Because once it's in your subconscious mind, it's there until you debate it and get rid of it, detect it and debate it. it's still there. You know, I can listen to a song that came out 10 years ago, and if it plays on the radio, I know the words. I haven't heard it in 3 years, you know, and it's from 10 years, but I'll know every word. Why? Because it's still in my belief system. So our belief system is our subconscious mind. Our subconscious mind is like a storage bin. Our conscious mind is our right now mind. It's whatever you're working on and thinking on right now. For instance, as I'm talking to you, I'm very conscious of what I'm saying. But at the same time, a few seconds ago, I reached over, I grabbed some water, took a little sip. I'm doing all of that while I'm talking to you. Well, that activity of getting my water has come out of my subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is something you can do without really thinking about it. It's kind of like your background or your backdrop. I like to compare it to Norton. If you have Norton or McAfee running on your computer, you don't see it. It's detecting spyware, adware, you know, it's got firewalls put up. It's keeping your computer safe, but you don't see it. You know, you don't see it. So it's working, but it's working all the time. And so that's how our subconscious mind is. You know, you may not be aware that it's working, but your subconscious mind is definitely working. Your subconscious mind tells you what to feel and how to feel it. You know, and I shared this with you, this example of, you know, if you go into a dark room and you feel fear, you suddenly feel fear. Well, your subconscious mind told you that from your based on the history that's stored in your subconscious mind or your belief system, that dark places are not safe and you need to be very concerned. You're at high alert until you get, you know, some light on and you can discern or, you know, determine what's fully going on in that particular space. So the process of detecting and debating is critical, and it's going to take a lot of time. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. It could take years before you actually detect and debate every negative system that's in your mind. But it's definitely worth it. It's something that can absolutely be done, but you're going to have to combat those false beliefs or those negative beliefs with truth. Because remember, you have to... It's truth that we hold on to. So you have to get that truth in you. You have to make your mind grab hold of it. And that's a process in itself. And, you know, I was reading that it takes 21 days to create a new habit. 21 days. That's just some magical number. I don't know why it takes 21 days. I can't even tell you the scientific reason why, but it does take 21 days to create a new habit. And so it's going to take time when you're trying to detect and debate your faulty beliefs and your limited beliefs and those kinds of things, but it's absolutely possible. And one of the ways that I found to do that is because, again, I'm a Christian, I believe, and I know you're going to talk about religion, I believe the Word of God, you know, Christianity, I believe in that. And so I take my Bible and I find truths that are written in my Bible about me and about who I am or about a particular circumstance or a situation that may be happening in my life, and I make these confessions, these positive affirmations, and I repeat them, and I do them daily, and I repeat them, and I do them daily, and I say them, I mutter them throughout the day. And so that's what the Bible actually says, that we should meditate on the Word of God day and night. It means to mutter, to actually speak it out of your mouth. And what's happening is the words are going out of your mouth, but back into your ear gate and being deposited in your conscious mind as you're saying it, but then eventually it will build up and you'll begin to believe these things that you're saying, and then once you believe them, they actually transfer or deposited into your subconscious mind, and you have created a new belief. So it's a process. Go ahead.
I want to ask about when we look at the mental experience, I will call it.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things to deal with, just an average individual, because, as you said, the negativity can be so prevalent and it's always bombarding us in some way or another. And so I think of those things that we have to call real. You know, they're real things that we face that certainly do not lend itself to being positive, feeling positive, showing up as positive. We have bad experiences, we have tragedies, we have horrible memories, that, you know, from childhood or even adulthood, things that challenge our psyche. When I do these shows, I always want people to understand that, especially something that has the depth of what we're talking about, is, you know, if you're living, you know, getting into your living existence and how something like this truly does impact it. I really like for people, by the time this show ends, to understand that there truly are ways. And I like what you said about detecting and debating. And I want to, you know, make sure we put it, break it down into extremely simplistic terms to, you know, this is, you said this is not going to happen overnight. Sometimes it can, depending on what it is. It might be an easy thought to, you know, kick to the curb. But when there are more serious issues, things that have happened to an individual, things that have hurt them, things that maybe they're, you're really in a horrible, horrible situation of some kind. And it doesn't feel like to them necessarily the thing to do is sit down and start picking apart your thinking. However, it needs to be said and understood that that really is, it's really a part of the process of developing a stronger, more positive, a more healthy belief system. And it probably feels to most individuals like the last thing you want to do is really think through it when you've been thinking what you've been thinking, you know, so far. But at some point, you have to realize that, you know, if it is to change, if it is to take on a new look, if it is to feel like a door opens or light comes in the situation, it is because we have to grab hold of that negativity and say, you know, stop, or wait a minute, or let me look at this a different way. Because there is, in reality, something that I want people to understand is that there is always another way to look at something.
Absolutely.
And so I want, you know, I want people to understand that, you know, it's not always easy to do it. I watch individuals often. I'm just a people watcher, and I watch people do things. And I mean, even at the gym or at the grocery store, I watch people, and it's just very interesting when you see certain things that people do, and you know it's because of a certain core value or belief that they do certain things. Even, you know, being in the produce department, and or, you know, particular types of brands and things like that. We do that based on things that we really think about a certain thing. There's really a whole complete thought that's going on when we're choosing to do anything. And so we can undo those thoughts. We can detect them, as you said, and debate them. And debate them, I like that, because that puts you in a position where you negotiate with yourself. That's kind of what, that's how that fell on my ears. You negotiate. Yeah. Is this working? Is this getting me results? Is this thinking doing anything to benefit me? Is this kind of thought pattern providing any gain, any growth? You know, those are the kinds of debate. If the answers are not coming back into your mind that say, yes, this is great, this is good, that's the direction I wanted to go, yes, that makes sense, yes, that's the road to a better situation, that's when you have to say to yourself, then, I've debated with this. This does not work for me. In fact, thinking like this probably doesn't work much for anyone. So let me begin now to process some new ways, new thinking, new beliefs. And I say this too, Marnita.
Okay.
You know, we don't so much have to reinvent the wheel. Just about all the success that anybody can want, we can see it. And I think that we can ask people, we can research, and I don't mean just in terms of, success and money is the only type of happiness. Certainly it does play a great role in it, depending on who you are and what your life is. But just finding what I mentioned earlier, just peace of mind, contentment, self-satisfaction, comfort levels within yourself and what you're doing in your life doesn't mean it has to make everybody on the outside impressed or happy, but it does for you. And that does take some soul searching and belief evaluations to determine that those things are, again, going to help you or hurt you, because categorically that is where our beliefs land. They're either going to help you or they're going to hurt you. They're either going to keep you where you are or they're going to catapult you. They're either going to make you happy or they're going to make you unhappy. And that list can go on. And you don't have to ask anybody about debating or negotiating about that. Unless you just like self-destruction, you have to look at the possibility and potential that comes with challenging negative beliefs. So I wanted to say that just to provide some additional clarity. I understood, and maybe a lot of people listening would too, what you were explaining, but I wanted to make sure that we could put it in some real bite-sized pieces, because whenever all of my shows have in the backdrop, me wanting people to really learn something, even if it's one thing that they hear, that they go away with, that they say, that is something I can use, or that's something I can share, or that's something that, wow, I'll never think the same way again. So, I love what you're doing, and I love what your book is about. I wanted to ask you about a particular thing, because you're in it, and I've served in ministry as well, and I've really got a whole bunch of thoughts and feelings, and we have a couple of minutes left that we can discuss it. Religion and beliefs. I've seen a lot of things get twisted. From being taught perhaps with not as much accuracy and understanding as could be or should be, and then actually carrying out what you do based on a lack of real understanding. And what are your thoughts when it comes to some of the belief systems that, you know, we walk away from when we look at religion as a whole? And I'm not talking about any one person or pastor or anything. I'm just saying sometimes I look and I think that there needs to be a greater expansion of thought, of thinking, of processing. And it's almost as if many people are afraid to think outside of the one verse that they see. It's concrete, it's what it is. But yeah, don't you think Jesus, when you look at what he said and you continue to read, he was a profound thinker. And so we can't be afraid to think beyond those words and ponder them. And as you said earlier, meditate on them to see what other potential impossibilities mm-hmm. for doing and thinking are even within that. So we have a few more minutes. Tell me what you think.
Well, I think as it relates to, especially with Christianity, I think where the church is now is that we're coming into a place where we are realizing that we haven't done everything maybe the way it was intended. And what I'm really saying is that we have not fully followed sound doctrine. As you said, you know, Jesus is a profound thinker. You know, he's very imaginative, very creative. He's very free. And what has happened is the traditions of men have boxed in the gospel from being what Jesus intended it to be. And that's pretty much my thinking on that. You can go in any church in America on any day that the doors are open and hear some very strange things being taught, you know. And, I mean, and that is if you're someone who studies, because if you're not someone who studies and you're someone who is just coming and relying on whomever is overseeing the shepherd of that house, you know, relying on their ability to teach you, then you're going to believe whatever they say. You're going to, you know, lay it right there. But the Bible doesn't teach us to rely on other people. It tells us that we are responsible, that there is ownership to us knowing and having that relationship with God. You know, it actually says that we are to study to show ourselves approved so that we won't be ashamed and we would be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And so I think that we're coming into this age now, I'm starting to hear it more and more, where a lot of pastors and leaders and shepherds are saying we've got to go back to what they're calling basics, which I'm interpreting them to say we've really missed it. We've really missed it because the people are not advancing the way they're supposed to, not the way that Jesus said that they would. So, you know, they're doing some things, but we're not getting the results. We're not seeing the Bible results of our relationship with God the way Jesus promised that we would. So I think people are really having to go back and get the Bible and take God literally at his word. And I think for many believers, the onus is on them to study, to pursue God. And I think to some degree, I want to say this gently, but folks are just lazy. You know, we live in a society where we're very instant society. We don't want to work hard for much of anything. And so because we're not willing to put the time in, I mean, certainly that's not everybody, but it's a large portion of people. And they're just not willing to really put the time in to do what it takes to have the success that we're guaranteed to have through the gospel. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know, it's what we do daily that determines where we end up. I think somebody said consistency is the key to your breakthrough. It's what you do daily that's going to create your habits. And, you know, as it relates to, like, our belief system, it's a daily, a day-to-day walk. And it may even be minute by minute. And I love what you say. You want it to be simplistic. I want people to get this, too. You know, how do you eat an elephant? Well, certainly if you
one
look
bite
at the
at
big
time.
Old, you eat him one
I'm
going
to have to interrupt us right now because we're running out of time on the clock.
Okay,
and I want people to know how to get hold of your book. It's been a great talk, and I'm going to look forward to perhaps chatting with you again. But I'm going to put the link up for your book on the site. We both didn't get that done, so it's going to be there at Amazon.com. Wonderful price available for it, only $2.99. Marnita, I want to thank you so much,
and I
feel like we're in an explosive time where we could have talked about more, but I only put in for an hour, so thank you. I'm going to have to wrap up. I'm going to give you a call in a little bit just to touch base again, but thanks so much for sharing such wonderful information. I'm trusting that it was very stimulating to the people who've heard it, and that they will have something to go away with. And I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen in on Foxology. Going to look forward to having you back again in a few days. And just have a wonderful night. Thanks for tuning in. And
thank you.
And make sure, challenge your beliefs, debate them. Life is full of promise and possibility. Good night.